Evening. Tonight we're continuing our sermons on the complex parables. And so tonight we're looking at the lost sheep and the lost coin, which can be found in Luke 15, 1-10. I'd like to kick off by telling a couple of stories. I once knew a man we will call James, a hospital scientist who was known for his forgetfulness, and he tended to be absent-minded. James may have been very good at his work, but at other times he was something of a scatterbrain. James was notorious for misplacing things, but his most frequent victim was his house keys. One sunny morning, James rushed out of his apartment, late for an important meeting. Then he realised he'd forgotten his phone. So he ran back hastily into the house, unlocking the door, and he grabbed his phone and dashed out again. Several hours later, as James returned home, he reached into his pocket for his key, only to find it missing. Panic set in as he frantically searched his pockets, his bag, and even retraced his steps back to his meeting place, which was incidentally 1 hour away. But alas, the key was nowhere to be found. Defeated, James resigned himself to the fact that he was shut out of his apartment and would need to call a blacksmith. I said a blacksmith, a locksmith. Anyway, he suddenly realised as he tried the door that the door was actually unlocked. He was so relieved. He'd left the door unlocked and his keys were in the kitchen. All this in his rush to go. Feeling rather sheepish, James chuckled at his forgetfulness, but he rejoiced that his keys had been found and his household was intact. Phew, what a relief. I'm sure you can all recall misplacing your keys or your phone at some stage. If your house is anything like mine, the whole family gets involved frantically searching. I'm sure you can relate to that. Losing your keys can be very inconvenient, but I do also think being lost yourself can be far more serious. Have you ever been lost in the bush? Have you ever had moments where you thought you were lost? I've been out bushwalking from time to time and I thought, I'll just try this track here. And then I discover that it doesn't really go anywhere. I've got to backtrack and I wonder if I'm going to exhaust myself trying to get home. A friend of mine once got lost in the bush in a far more dramatic way, though. He was on a school excursion amongst a small group of students who decided to take a detour while hiking through the Blue Mountains. They did not ask their teachers. They took the initiative, like any sensible 16-year-old would do. Unfortunately, they got completely lost, and they had to camp in a cave overnight. The next morning, they were able to climb a hill, look around, and they got their bearings. So by 10 a.m. the next morning, they were back with the group. Phew, what a relief. Now, I wonder if their parents were actually phoned about the fact that they'd gone missing. How would you feel about getting a call like this? Mrs. Smith, I'm so sorry to have to tell you that we have mislaid your daughter temporarily. I'm sure she is perfectly fine, though. She's travelling with two very responsible boys. What could possibly go wrong? Seriously, though, imagine the stress that the parents would be going through. And imagine the relief and the rejoicing when they were once again reunited with their children. In the Gospels, Jesus shared many stories that were equally relatable to the people of the time. In Luke 15, Jesus tells us two parables to illustrate the heart of God towards those who are lost. The story of the lost sheep and the story of the lost coin highlight the relentless pursuit of God for those who are not in relationship with him. These narratives are not just tales of lost objects, but they are profound revelations of God's deep love and desire to reconcile with each one of us. Jesus addressed these parables to a mixed audience, including tax collectors and sinners, Pharisees and scribes, the lawyers and the university professors of that day. So how are these seemingly straightforward stories complex? Well, the complexity lies in part in conveying those deep spiritual truths in simple stories that are accessible to a diverse audience. Jesus' words simultaneously reach out to those who were lost and admonishes those who are conceited and self-righteous. So let's read the first part of today's text, Luke 15:1-7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Jesus often uses parables to challenge the attitudes of the religious leaders of this time. The complexity of our parables lies in the underlying theme of how religious performance can miss the essence of God's mercy and his grace towards sinners. In chapter 18, Jesus tells another story that highlights the Pharisees' religiosity. Two men were standing in the temple praying. One of them was all humble and bowed over, and the other one was rather exalted. One talked about being a contrite sinner, while the other thanked God that he was not like other men, but righteous under the law. Many of the Pharisees believed that being faultless according to religious rules equaled being righteous and being in good standing with God. However, Jesus said otherwise. He commended the man who was honest about his shortcomings and his need for forgiveness. The cultural nuances of these parables might not immediately be apparent to modern readers, making the stories more complex when seeking to grasp their full implications. There's an unexpected emphasis on the one lost item out of many that challenges conventional wisdom and social norms. It conveys the idea that God's love is not based on worldly standards, but on the intrinsic value of each individual. While these parables are relatively short and straightforward, they can be considered complex in terms of the layers of meaning and the theological depth they carry. The parables also make use of symbolic elements. For instance, the lost sheep and a lost coin represent individuals who have strayed from God. The shepherd and the woman represent God. That's a bit controversial, isn't it? And the finding of the lost item symbolises repentance and the joy in heaven over a sinner who repents. Just as the shepherd leaves the 99 to search for the one lost sheep, God seeks after each one of us individually, no matter how lost we may feel or how far away we have strayed. God's love pursues us tirelessly. His heart is not content until every soul is found. We are not insignificant to him. We are precious and valued beyond measure. Let's look now at the second part of the text, Luke 15:8-10. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we have a woman who sweeps her house and searches carefully until she finds her lost coin. When she does, she rejoices and shares her joy with her friends. Just like the woman diligently searches for the lost coin, God's pursuit of the lost in our lives is characterized by his unwavering commitment and his relentless love. He is not a passive bystander waiting for us to find our way back to him. God takes the initiative and seeks us out. His pursuit is not haphazard or half-hearted. It is intentional, purposeful, and thorough. God's search for the lost reflects his deep desire for a restored relationship with each of his children. His pursuit of the lost does not depend upon our worthiness or our efforts to seek him. Instead, it is rooted in his boundless love and grace. He sees our brokenness, our struggles, and our deepest needs, and he pursues us with compassion and tenderness. And when God finds us, when we respond to his call and turn back to him, there is great rejoicing in heaven. It's a joy that surpasses human understanding, a celebration of redemption and reconciliation. Each lost soul is precious and beloved in the eyes of God. And when one is found, heaven itself erupts in jubilant praise. Reflecting on God's diligent search for the lost fills us with awe and gratitude. It reminds us of the depth of his love and the lengths to which he is willing to go to bring us back into a relationship with him. It is a love that knows no bounds, a pursuit that knows no limits, a love that seeks us out and rejoices when we are found. May we respond to God's relentless pursuit with open hearts, knowing that when we find true joy, restoration, and belonging, it is in his arms. In the context of Jewish teaching during Jesus' time, several aspects of the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin might have been challenging to the audience. In Jewish society, there was often a clear distinction between righteousness and the righteous and the sinners, a social divide. Social interaction with sinners was to be avoided to maintain purity. The fact that Jesus portrays the joy in heaven over the repentance of one sinner might have been surprising, especially considering the religious leaders' attitude towards sinners. These parables challenge the notion of exclusivity, and they highlighted God's inclusive love for all, regardless of their past or current status. In Jewish culture, repentance was often accompanied by solemn penance. So the fact that these people showed exuberant celebration in these parables might have seemed excessive. However, Jesus uses this imagery to convey the depths of God's joy over the repentance and restoration of a single soul, emphasizing the value he places on each individual's reconciliation with him. In an agrarian society like ancient Israel, sheep were a common but valuable possession. They were often named. The role of a shepherd was well understood, and the cultural understanding of the significance of a single sheep would impact on how the audience perceived this parable. The cultural context includes an understanding of the value of a coin, particularly a drachma, which is the coin that's specifically mentioned in these verses. A drachma represents a day's wage for a common labourer. The loss of one drachma, while seemingly small, would have been significant in the economic context of that time. Overall, these parables challenge conventional thinking about God's love, his forgiveness, and the nature of repentance, inviting listeners to reconsider their understanding of these concepts within the framework of God's kingdom. So how do we apply these parables to our lives and make them part of what we do? Just as the lost sheep and the lost coin represent those who have strayed or become separated, we can reflect on moments in our lives when we have fallen lost, felt lost, spiritually, emotionally, or morally. Recognizing our own need for guidance, restoration, and reconciliation with God is the first step towards experiencing the depth of his love and grace. Experiencing God's relentless pursuit. These parables remind us of God's relentless pursuit, that God actively seeks us out, no matter how far we have wandered or how insignificant we may feel. Reflecting on times when we have experienced God's pursuit can deepen our appreciation of his unwavering love and faithfulness. So all this talk of God's relentless love puts me in mind of a book that I've read recently and a story I heard from one of my friends. My friend told me many years ago about an amazing experience that she had while giving birth to one of her sons. She was in great distress as things were not going at all well and she had lost a lot of blood. Suddenly she was free from the pain that she was experiencing and she was floating above her body. She described a feeling of peace and serenity accompanied by a sense of awareness and clarity, feeling like this experience was more real than her everyday mundane life. She was able to look down as a neutral observer as doctors and nurses worked frantically to revive her. She was then returned to her body. This kind of experience has come to be called a near-death experience. Many individuals who have had a near-death experience go on to describe a sensation of being drawn towards a bright, radiant presence. And as they move closer, they feel a sense of overwhelming love and acceptance, as well as a deep understanding of their spiritual nature. Now, NDEs were once dismissed as mere hallucinations or the result of psychological processes in the brain. But there is now a growing recognition that these experiences warrant serious study. The accounts of individuals who have had NDEs often include verifiable details or information that they could not possibly have known through ordinary means. Some researchers and medical professionals have now come to acknowledge the validity of NDEs as a genuine subjective experience that can have a profound and lasting effect on individuals. Now, do NDEs prove God's exuberant love for us? No, but according to the author and researcher J. Stephen Miller, from the book I read, they most often agree with what Jesus is telling us in these parables, that beyond this troubled world exists a being who truly cares and loves us. God is lovingly reaching out to us. At our toughest times in life, he may break through and express his love and care. Miller further observes that most of these people who experience NDEs also experience a spiritual awakening. They go on to join Christian churches and they often become active members there. And this is what happened to my friend. Extending grace and love to others. We are called to extend the same compassion and care to others that God shows to us. These parables can challenge us to actively seek out those who are lost or hurting, to share the message of God's love and forgiveness, and to rejoice with heaven over every soul that is found. Reflecting on opportunities we have had to show grace, offer forgiveness, or share the hope of Christ can inspire us to continue being instruments of God's love in the lives of those around us, embracing repentance and restoration. Just as the shepherd rejoices over the lost sheep and the woman celebrates finding the lost coin, God rejoices when we repent and turn back to him. Reflecting on our experiences of repentance and restoration, times when we have acknowledged our faults, sought forgiveness, and experienced God's grace, can inspire gratitude and motivate us to live lives marked by humility, obedience, and faithfulness. Trusting in God's provision and faithfulness. Finally, these parables remind us of God's faithfulness in preserving and restoring his people. Reflecting on moments when we have experienced God's provision, his guidance, and his protection, even amid difficulty or uncertainty, can strengthen our trust in his promises and encourage us to continue following him with confidence and courage. So in conclusion, the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin remind us of the depth of God's love, the extent of his pursuit of our souls. No matter how lost we may feel, we are never very far from the reach of his grace. He seeks after us with unwavering devotion, longing for us to return to him. May we respond to his love with open hearts, knowing that we find true joy and fulfillment in his arms. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we conclude our time reflecting on the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, we are reminded of your relentless pursuit of each one of us and your love that knows no bounds. Thank you for seeking us out when we are lost, for rejoicing over our repentance, and for restoring us in your loving embrace. May the truths that we've explored today sink deep into our hearts, prompting us to respond with humility, gratitude, and obedience. Help us to extend your grace and love to others, just as you have graciously extended it to us. Grant us the wisdom to recognise our own lostness and the courage to turn back to you, knowing that you eagerly await our return with open arms. May our lives be a testimony to your faithfulness and a reflection of your love towards the world around us. As we go forth from this time of reflection, may your presence go with us, guiding our steps and shaping our hearts according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.